Well, let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the message of this evening. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we now look by faith to thee for thy blessing, Lord, to rest upon the remainder of our time here in thy house. Now bless this word to our hearts, we pray. And Father, we pray that thou deliver us, O Lord, from all worldly distraction. Help us to concentrate upon the word of truth. Help us to realize, O Lord, that we are hearing and reading about tonight not just the words of men, but it is thy word to us. So do speak to us, O Lord, we pray, and give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, and wills to do and obey thy word as thy people. We ask it in and through our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, the text that I'd like to start with this evening is that one that we began the service with, and I read from chapter 2 of Genesis to you, and it's the 24th verse that I'd like to start with this evening. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, and the person who is speaking here or writing is an Adam. Adam isn't speaking here, although he speaks in the previous verse, verse 23. Commentators seem to be agreed. The person who is speaking or writing here was Moses, the prophet Moses. But we need to remember, especially in the light of something that I heard yesterday in a meeting, that ultimately the person that is speaking here is God. God is speaking, and he's speaking to people then in Moses' day, but he still speaks to us today through his word. And these are words that are quoted by our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 19 and verse 5, and also Mark chapter 10 and verse 7, and also by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. So if they are quoted a number of times in Scripture, they must be very important indeed. All Scripture is very important. When it's repeated in such a way, it must be very important indeed. So we read there, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we start with this text in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, and we see here that one of the two things that Moses was writing about here, or through God was speaking to people here about, was about this matter of cleaving. And the other thing that we have here is the matter concerning leaving. People often speak about that concerning people getting married. They leave father and mother and they cleave to their husband or to their wife. A leaving and a cleaving. Notice in the verse again, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave. It's that word, such a powerful word that really struck me last week. He shall cleave to his wife and they shall be one flesh. When Moses here, or God, speaks here about cleaving, what is meant is adhering. A man leaving his father and mother and adhering, in a sense, to his wife. There is a physical union and a spiritual fellowship between them. They're really adhering to one another, firmly adhering to one another. It can refer to be not only adhering, but being glued to one another. He shall be glued to his wife, in a sense, holding fast to her, closely being joined together to her, or sticking fast to and by her through thick and thin. And not, of course, the opposite of this, which in the English language uses the same word. I often think the English language can be very confusing. particularly for people who are perhaps trying to learn it, foreign people who are trying to learn it, because of course cleaving can mean quite the opposite of this, can mean kind of dividing, can't it, right down the middle. But here, the cleaving that we're thinking about here is adhering, holding fast, being closely joined together, sticking fast to one another. A man leaving father and mother and cleaving to his wife in that sense. You have the same word used in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 10. Quite a nice little illustration here of cleaving, where the prophet there speaks about one of David's mighty men, one of his three mighty men, a man called Eleazar, son of a man called Dodo the Ahohite, one of David's three mighty men. And it's said there of him that he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword. He'd been holding his sword so firmly, so strongly, in such an iron grip, in fighting against all the Philistines for such a long time. When he eventually tried to let go of the hilt of his sword, he wasn't able to. His hand clave to it, and he couldn't let it go. There's such a grip upon it. It's as though his hand was stuck to the hilt of his sword. It had adhered to it. It was holding fast to it. It was almost joined to it. It was almost sticking fast to the hilt of his sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. So this evening I want us to look at this whole matter of cleaving, not in the sense we've just been looking at it in Genesis, but in a number of other senses as well. And ask you, my dear friend this evening, my dear brother or sister in Christ, are you at this time in your Christian life, as a Christian believer, are you cleaving in a number of different ways that I'm going to seek to open up this evening to you? Are you cleaving? God forbid that you're leaving the things I'm going to mention. God grant through his grace that you may be cleaving to them. So when you do a study of the scriptures on this word, how is it used in the Bible, this cleaving? Well, it's used in terms of, or in the context of, what we might call domestic cleaving or marital cleaving, which we've already seen in Genesis. But it's also used in terms of divine cleaving or spiritual cleaving, we might call it. And thirdly and finally, and quite topically, because of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee over this period, we can also think in terms of a dutiful or a royal cleaving, an honouring the Queen and a praying for her too. So these are the three things I want us to look at this evening in terms of cleaving or adhering. So first of all, our Bibles, God's holy word, teaches us about a matter of domestic cleaving, marital cleaving. And here, of course, it teaches us about husbands having left their parents, their fathers and their mothers, and when they're married and ever afterwards, cleaving to their wives in a sense in which we've already looked at this word, and vice versa, wives cleaving to their husbands. We also have an instance of Ruth, I'll mention a little bit later, cleaving to her mother-in-law. So that's also in a domestic sense, in a home sense. But I want to focus upon these two things. Husbands, and particularly I'm thinking about Christian husbands, cleaving to their wives, and Christian wives cleaving to their husbands. These two cleaving to one another and not letting anything come between them, because what God has joined, let no man put asunder. We read there in Matthew, and it's in other places too. So therefore, we read the following, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore, in the light of what Adam says in verse 23, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The two shall become one, in a sense. They'll be united together, united physically and united in fellowship. And if they're Christians, heirs together of eternal life. And our Lord Jesus Christ had occasion to cite and to quote these words to the Pharisees concerning marriage in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5. And also we have it in Mark chapter 10 and verse 7. He says to them, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain, the two of them, shall be one flesh." They shall be united. They shall be united, and nothing should really part them. And in the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, in that famous passage about the church and the relationship between Christ and the church being like the relationship between a husband and wife and vice versa, there he says, he quotes the same words, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall be joined." He uses that word there. "A cleaving, joined to his wife, and they too shall be one flesh." Now sometimes, I use this as an illustration here, sometimes this cleaving is described in scripture like bones cleaving to flesh and skin. In light of what Adam says in verse 23, here's a good illustration for you. That husbands are to cleave to their wives and vice versa, like our very bones cleaving to our flesh and skin. They should be kind of tight together, really tight together. Nothing should come between them. It doesn't let anything come between them. There should be a union, there should be a oneness, there should be a unity in the marital relationship, whether Christian or not, especially as a Christian couple. Job said, "My bone cleaves to my skin and to my flesh, and I'm escaped with the skin of my teeth." And the psalmist, Psalm 102 and verse 5, "By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin." And just like bones cleave to flesh and skin, husbands and wives, Christian husbands and wives, are to cleave to one another. So my challenge to you, my dear friend, this evening at this point is this. If you are a Christian husband or wife, or perhaps you might be in the future, but if you are at the moment, are you cleaving to your wife? Are you cleaving to your husband? Because sadly, my dear friends, we're living in very sad days where things come not only between husbands and wives that are not believers, but even between husband and wife that are believers. And there can be divorces between them. I went to a meeting only this past week where the divorce figures were given over the past few decades. And they're very, very high indeed. And it is something that you do not want at all. So make sure, my dear, don't let the devil come in. Don't let the devil come between you. He will seek to come in and kind of try and lever you apart. He'll kind of start blowing something out of perspective, out of proportion. He'll kind of try and come in between you. Or he'll use somebody or something to come in between you. And you must be always on the watch. You must be always guarding. You must keep an eye upon your relationship and keep it sweet. Like somebody once said, couples who pray together, stay together. Read the scriptures together every day. Pray together every day. And God willing, through his grace, you will stay together. For richer, for poorer, sickness in health, and so on, as the marital vows put it. So are you cleaving to your wife? Are you cleaving to your husband? Will you do that if you get married in the future? Will you do that as grace is given to you? So there's that kind of cleaving. But also in Scripture, there is that which we might call divine or spiritual cleaving. I'd like to divide this into two. First of all, there is, my dear friends, and again, very important today, our cleaving to God. Our cleaving to God. Believers cleaving to Him. And just as you wouldn't want anything coming between your marital relationship, anything come in between you and your husband or your wife. So, my dear friends, you must not let anything come between you and God. There's, of course, a sense in which you can never lose your salvation. Your relationship with him can never be severed. But your fellowship can be spoiled. Of course, it's not going to come as far as he's concerned because God is faithful. But it can come in as far as you're concerned if you sin in any way. And your fellowship with him, your relationship with him, for a little while may be marred and spoiled. And God can withdraw. But not, he will always cleave to you. But you need to cling on to him. And we have this a lot in Scripture, particularly in Deuteronomy. Moses said in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 4, "But those of you amongst the children of Israel who cleaved to the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day." And then in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20, "Thou shalt," speaking again about the children of Israel, "thou shalt fear the Lord your God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave." Cleaving to God, cleaving to the Lord Jesus Christ, cleaving to the things of God, cleaving to his word, cleaving to his son, cleaving to his house and to the means of grace, and so on. "To him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name." I could take you to chapter 11 verse 22, 13 and verse 4, 13 and verse 20. Into Joshua 22 and verse 5 and 23:8, into 2 Kings and Jeremiah 13 and verse 11. It's an exhortation that comes again and again to God's people then and to us today about the necessity of our not only being converted and becoming Christians, but having become Christians, of walking a close walk with God and cleaving to him and not letting anything come between us and a close walk, a close relationship with God. Coming to the New Testament, in Acts 11 verse 23, speaks that about Barnabas. When he came to a place called Antioch, he'd been sent out by the church at Jerusalem, and has seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted all of them, that with purpose of heart, what would they do? And it's, notice, it's something that they had to do. They had to work out their salvation with fear and trembling because of God who worked in them, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. They had to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. They would cleave to the Lord. Just like a child clinging on to its parent, holding its hand, not letting him go. They had to cleave to God by faith, keeping hold upon him, walking a close walk with him. And this cleaving is sometimes illustrated in Scripture in another way, by a belt or cord, cleaving as it were to the waist of a man. And God speaks like this in Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 11. "For as the girdle, as the belt, cleaveth to the loins or to the waist of a man, so have I caused to cleave to me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be to me for a people and for a name and for a praise and for a glory." So just like a belt or a cord is round a man's waist and it is tight, so, my dear friend, you need in that same way to cleave to God. Your relationship to him must be close. It must be tight. There must be nothing between you and him. You need to keep a short account. You need to continue to confess your sin every day that you might be close to him. It's dangerous not to be, to wander away from the shepherd. The safe place is to be close and near to the shepherd whose rod and staff shall comfort us. Well, my dear brother and sister in Christ tonight, and particularly before we come to the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is this something that you are doing, making sure that you're doing? Are you really staying close to God? Or is anything, just like something can become between a married couple, a Christian married couple, has something come between you and God? If it has, before you come here, you need to deal with it, you need to repent of it, and you need to make sure that you are right with God, right with others too. before you partake of the bread and the wine. Make sure that you're really cleaving closely to the Lord in these days. Again, my dear friends, the devil will do everything that he can to come between Christian couples. And he'll do everything he can even more to come between you and God. And to seek to spoil the relationship, spoil the friendship. To come between you and to cause you to begin to wander away, especially in these days. So many people are doing that. And for you to grow cool and lukewarm, even as a Christian, like the Laodicean church. Something come in? Well, if it has, my dear friend, deal with it immediately. And turn back to God. And come close to him once more. You receive again a Father's welcome and pardon for all your sin, even as a believer. So in divine terms, in spiritual terms, we're to cleave to God. We're to be like limpets upon him. When I was a lad growing up next to the sea, I used to walk on the rocks. And one of the things I used to love to do was to try and kick out the limpets on the rocks, and just to kind of try and ease them off. And Satan will try and do that. He'll try and weaken and loosen your relationship, your hold upon God, try and weaken your faith. But every day you must strengthen your faith, strengthen your grip upon God, and don't let him weaken it in any way. Strengthen every day through Bible reading and through prayer. So cleaving to the Lord. But also, my dear friends, we're to cleave not only to him in these days, especially in these days, we're to cleave to one another and to cleave together and to bind one another's arms, especially in terms of the local church. We're to cleave to God's people. We find that this is something that Ruth did. Ruth chapter 1 verse 14 with her mother-in-law Naomi. These sisters, or these two women, lifted up their voice, Orpah and Ruth, and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and left her mother-in-law. But what was it that Ruth did? Ruth clave to her mother-in-law. And she clave to her, I'm sure, not only in natural terms, because she was her mother-in-law, but also because they were believers. There was a spiritual cleaving there, as well as one that it was to do with family. We read this in Nehemiah chapter 10 and verse 29. In the days of Nehemiah, they, referring to the children of Israel, many of the children of Israel, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his judgments and his statutes. Ruth cleaving to her mother-in-law. In the days of Nehemiah, God's people kind of really holding hands and being strong. Because therein is strength. In unity there is strength. In division there is weakness. They bound themselves together. They cleave to one another. And Isaiah 14 and verse 1, the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land. And the strangers shall be joined with them. And they, these strangers, Gentiles, shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And then lastly, we read about these people coming into the New Testament, Acts 17 verse 34, about certain people, this is lovely, cleaving to Paul, cleaving to him as an apostle, as a minister, as a believer, cleaving to his teaching, cleaving to his practice. These people who believed, among the which was a man called Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So this cleaving involves cleaving to God, holding tight onto him by faith. Also, my dear friends, especially these days, cleaving to one another. You know, having a close fellowship and communion, the communion of saints, and a close friendship with one another, loving God and loving one another. Another illustration of this cleaving is in Job 38:38, of earth or clods of earth cleaving fast together. He says, when the dust groweth into hardness and the clods cleave fast together. So just like kind of mud kind of melts or molds into one. Even so, my dear friends, we should be one as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the family, the household of faith. And we mustn't let anything come between us. Nothing coming in between our marital wives and husbands. Nothing coming between our relationship with God. Nothing coming in between our relationship with one another. And if there is anything, again, before you come here, if this is to bless you this evening, you have to deal with that. Because if there is one thing that grieves God and grieves the Spirit of God, is when things come between God's people, between brothers and sisters in Christ. There's that wonderful awakening in the 18th century. But you know, when Howell Harris and Danny Rollins, two ministers, when something came between them, the blessing dried up. People stopped being converted. There wasn't such an anointing upon the ministry. Something came, the Spirit was grieved. And he continued to be grieved until it was sorted out. And if there's anything between you and another brother or sister, you have to sort it. You need to sort it out straight away. You need to do it immediately. You need to do it humbly, tactfully and carefully, wisely. So that blessing, you might not rob yourself of blessing. You might not rob others of blessing. Rob yourself of happiness and joy and peace. Something come in. Satan is so subtle. He's so clever. He knows how to come in between one believer and another. Just like in the New Testament, there was those two women, wasn't there? Euodias and Syntyche. And something, they're godly women. But something had come in amongst them, and Paul had to exhort them to kind of sort out their relationship. And I would trust, we don't know what happened, but we trust that that is something that was sorted out. So this cleaving, as Christian couples, as Christians to God, Christians with one another. And finally, my dear friends, there is also perhaps a sense of which of a dutiful cleansing or a royal, not cleansing, cleaving, a dutiful cleaving or a royal cleaving. And that is perhaps especially irrelevant over these days of our Queen's Diamond Jubilee. And it is good to, in a sense, cleave to her, to pray for her, to pray for those in authority, pray for our Queen, pray for this next year of her life, that she might be given the strength and the wisdom, whatever power that she has in these days, whatever influence she has, to rule well. Pray that we might honour her, pray that we might be united under her, and that the nation might be unified under her rule and reign. So, my dear friend, are you cleaving? Unless, of course, you're a Republican, of course, are you cleaving to your Queen? You're one of her citizens, one of her subjects, your Queen, praying for her, honouring her, and being united as a country under her. She has a good unifying role in these days, particularly these days where Satan is seeking to destroy and undermine and break up everything, breaking up marriage, breaking up churches, breaking up our country. That's what Satan does. But God does quite the opposite. He binds people together. He binds them through homes, their homes, through their churches, and through the nation. And as goes the home, so goes the church. So goes the nation. So, my dear friends, we are to cleave to that which is good in the context of our homes. Husbands to wives to husbands. We're to cleave to that which is good in the context of our churches. Cleaving to our God, not letting him go. Holding fast to him and to the things of God, to the old parts. Cleaving to one another, cleaving to his people. They're in his strength, my dear friends, in these days. And we're to cleave to those things that are good in relation to our nation. And cleaving, as I say, to our Queen, honouring her and praying for her. Paul said to the Romans, to close Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, but cleave to that which is good. And I, rather, the Lord, would exhort you this evening to cleave in these days to everything that is good. Cleave to God. Cleave to his people. Cleave to one another. And cleave to the good things that are in our country. Now perhaps instead of an increasing weakness in all of these areas today, there might be a gradual strengthening in all of them. Well, may God grant it for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.